Guys, hello and welcome to my Tuesday conference call. I'm Ted Keyes, your host and top freight agent training expert here in Southern California. This is a free, high-powered meeting I hold live every Tuesday for new, struggling, and top-producing freight sales agents at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. As usual, on the call, I'll show you how to move more freight efficiently, effectively, and effortlessly, so you make more money financially. And after the call, go to my website, tedkeysonline.com, to hear more of my free podcasts, read more of my blog posts, watch more of my videos, and while you're there, just stroll over to my Freight Sales Success Store for top-notch freight moving products to really explode your freight business today. And while you're there on my website, taking in all this free information, whatever page you happen to be on, just go over to the right and enter your contact details. By doing that, you'll receive your weekly email invite to this and every call. Along with that, I'll send you the free attachments that I provide on each and every call. In addition to that, as a freebie, I will send you my free report, 11 Ways Freight Agents Will Increase Their Income. That report there has been downloaded thousands of times before. And after the call, if you got any questions, regardless of what it is, or more specifically, are you ready to join our top-producing freight sales team, then give me a call, Ted Keyes. I'm at 626-309-9141. On the call today, a very good friend of mine, my freight sales expert guest, is Ron Hummel. Ron resides from the trucking planet and also from St. Petersburg, Florida. Ron, welcome to the call. Are you there?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am. Thanks, Ed.
Awesome, Ron. Hey, Ron, just give us your story, whether you want to make it long or make it short, on, first of all, how did you get into the freight moving business or freight sales business?
Well, it's, you know, we can go way back, but I probably...
Whatever you want to share with us, Ron, we'd like to hear it.
Okay. I'll run through this pretty quickly. As a kid, I used to change truck tires, change oil on the weekends. Did that through high school. After high school, went into the Marine Corps for 4 years, served 4 years in the infantry. When I came out of high school, the friend of mine and I had changed truck tires for had a freight agency and had his own office down at the old Del X truck stop back in Philly. And I worked for him as a dispatcher for a few years until he was a little bit up in years, and he had had a heart attack and couldn't continue on with his business anymore. So he asked me if I wanted to buy his agency. So I bought his agency.
How old were you at the time, Ron?
Oh, I was 22.
22. Awesome.
22.
Did you know you were going to become an entrepreneur at the time?
No, I was just learning the business. I wanted my own thing. I had a burning desire to, to do something, but, opportunities kind of present themselves to you sometimes. And at this particular juncture, I was presented an opportunity to buy an agency. And by about 2 years later, I had, instead of being an agent, I had started my own thing. The agency thing kind of fell apart. It was one of the old common carriers who kind of went belly up, in the early 80s. But started my own brokerage company. At 27 years old, I was doing about $4.5 million a year gross. At 29 years old, I decided to buy trucks, which was probably a big mistake for me because that's a whole nother animal that, I went to service a big account in New Jersey and I needed to drop trailers on a regular basis. So went ahead and made the decision of buying trucks, which a lot of the money I made on brokerage I gave back when I bought those trucks.
Interesting.
to be upfront with you.
Interesting.
Always better to, give back 10% of the business and not, just do the brokering and just do the agency sort of thing. I found out later on in life.
That's typically the case, Ron. If you have a trucking company and a broker agency together, isn't it? One is basically feeding the other.
Yeah, it's actually, it's too, when you are trying to cut deals, you are actually representing both sides of the negotiation when you're doing that. The brokerage company gets the load, the trucking company, carries the load, and it's, you're paying your trucking company a little bit more because it's yours, and, it just kind of, it's not, it doesn't become a true brokerage after a while. Just subject to the marketplace, whatever the marketplace would be.
Yeah.
After that, we had our first kid, and I was probably working about 16 hours a day and said, I'm ready for a change. And the wife and I and my daughter just kind of, took off and went traveling across the country for 6 months. Sold all the equipment, went ahead and sold the accounts. And
how many trucks did you build your business up to run?
Sorry, Ted, I'm working out on the patio today. I took the afternoon off, so
no
if it
problem.
Gets a little noisy, let me know.
No problem.
Well, I had seven seven at the time. The 48-foot 102 van was the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
I had seven new Fruhoff trailers. I had four twin screws. I had four straight trucks. I had a 36-door cross-dock warehouse operation, I was moving a lot of freight. I had one of our accounts, I dropped trailers up in North Jersey and bring Texas loads back down to the warehouse in Philly, and we would unload and reload them after the drivers got empty in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
and send them on their way to Texas. And
mm-hmm.
we had big accounts, Kraft Foods, Markel Paper, Emerson Quiacool, White Westinghouse,
mm-hmm.
All big name guys. A lot of, accounts you wouldn't think you could come up with. We dealt with a company that was in the World Trade Center at the time called Nozaki. They were tuna fish importers. And it's a couple of guys sitting in an office that, were over from Japan. And boy, oh boy, they were, I didn't even realize it, but they were one of the largest tuna fish importers in the United States. And,
mm-hmm.
and just one of those gems that you find under a rock, So we had worked with a lot of big companies, and then after I kind of got out of it and gave my brain a rest, the wife and I decided to settle down in Pennsylvania Dutch country, and I became a sales consultant, opened a little office in downtown, and
Where was that again, Ron?
In Hanover, Pennsylvania.
Hanover? Yep.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but I had rented the office of the local newspaper where they used to be before they moved to a bigger facility. And every morning when I came in, I would walk through the door, and in the envelope slot, there'd be a whole bunch of envelopes on the floor with little $3 checks in them from people who were running classified ads. So I would call the newspaper and say, hey, you got more, checks over here. Come on over and pick them up. And so I befriended the fellow who had owned the newspaper and who had ran the paper. And, we started kind of hanging out. And I said, what would it take to, print a newspaper, in volume? And so we got to talking, and at the time, I was just puttering around, making some freight commissions, and I thought, well, what the heck? I think I'll start a trucking newspaper, and I started that in 1988.
Yeah, hold on a second. Now this is sure. after you took the wife, you took the family on a 6-month vacation. You came, mm-hmm. you moved to Hanover, and you mm-hmm. rented the space downtown to again. Get back in as a freight broker, freight agent.
I was working on commission. I was working for different companies that contacts with, and
right, so,
and just doing some consulting, trying to regenerate some accounts that they had lost for them, and some of them I had received a retainer from other ones for straight commission.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of, you know, I kind of did that for a while and decided to do this paper and
got it.
Started the paper in late '88, and did that until about 2003.
And that was called
The Dispatch.
The Dispatch.
Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a truck stop somewhere out where you're at, Ted, in California, where they have old publications shellacked to their tables in their restaurants, and everybody calls me and tells me my paper's in there, and I don't know which truck stop it is, but it's out there somewhere. But we would distribute. It was a business paper that the first half of it contained freight available, probably about 600 classified ads. The second part of it were carriers seeking freight, probably another 600 ads.
Mm-hmm.
It was the precursor to load boards and everything else. So, you know, of course, with the exception of DAT, which had the, you know, the screens at the truck stops, we were the only other thing out there that was, you know, that published, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, Ron, you had this area where brokers were listing their freight available.
Mm-hmm.
In a newspaper,
right.
things obviously moved a lot slower 20, 30 years ago, didn't they?
Well, the problem with the paper was that it would come out the first of the month. So if you placed an ad on the second of the month, you had to wait till the first of the following month.
Absolutely.
For the ad to appear.
Yep.
And of course, with the speed of the internet, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So that kind of faded off. At that point, I had sat down and met with a major advertising agency, and I said, you know, this is where I am. You know, I want to take the resources of what I have, and I want to, you know, continue on with my customers. What do you recommend? And they said, well, you know, the Dispatch really doesn't say anything. If you told me, if I was walking down the street and you said, I own the Dispatch, they really, really wouldn't know what that was. So,
It sounds like it's solved an advertising issue, but I mean, did you have articles in it, Ron? Anything like that?
Sure. I had written some stuff.
Okay.
I wrote an article about how important it was for freight brokers to freight brokers to be a presence in the marketplace, because it's the only real representation that that people who, you know, motor carriers have out there in a lot of markets.
You were blogging, Ron. That was your form of blogging.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That was your blog at the time.
And that story got picked up by some of the associations, and they kind of, you know, brokers kind of kept motor carriers competitive in the marketplace, as opposed to everything kind of going the, you know, intermodal, piggyback, that sort of thing at the time.
Right.
So a lot of things, you know, did a lot of newspaper-related stuff, going to truck shows and that sort of stuff. And then, of course, you know, after we had the powwow with the advertising agency, we changed the name of the newspaper to Trucking Planet. And I've been doing that since 2003 and since up until today. And Trucking Planet is basically a group of people who communicate with each other. There's about 250 groups. There's a group of people who have dry van freight, are involved in the dry van freight business in Texas, and another group that are involved in the flatbed business in Illinois, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, the reefer business in Washington State. So there's different groups for different, people, and it's kind of like everybody that does that sort of thing is kind of like getting in a room saying, hey, what do you have? Hey, what do you got going on? Hey, what do you have happening? And you know, where people kind of, I hate to use the word synergize, it's kind of corporate, but they kind of get together and find common ground and build relationships, and, it works out good for them. And you know, in addition to that, I have a shipper database on the website that has about 130,000 factories that do any kind of major shipping. I have a carrier database where you can download the database from Washington of all the FMCA licensed motor carriers, freight brokers, and freight forwarders. You can advertise and market your own services, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always thought, you know, hey, you know, stand on top of a mountain and say, you know, I handle loads coming out of California, you know, and I need freight, you know, and you know, it's a great way to get the message out there. The website has about 65,000 monthly visitors, a little bit more now. Keeps going up, but a lot of people come there, you know, go to the group that they want, see what's going on, and you know, add their own stuff in there. You can private message other members and that sort of thing. And that, and I'll conclude that for a second, and we can get into the freight sales part of it. But it's truckingplanet.com, just like the planet Earth. There's a monthly subscription for $9.95 that you can get in, you know, cheap.
$9.95 allows you entrance, Ron.
That allows you full access to everything.
Mm-hmm. $9.95 a month. Okay, go on.
There's also a lifetime account for $99. So let's say you were to, you know, you were to be an agent for somebody and maybe, you know, things didn't work out and you wanted to be an agent for somebody else, you know, the account continues with you no matter where you go and no matter, you know, what part of, you know, your business changes, you can change your profile and your account. So, you know, it's good to, you know, I come from the old school, Ted, and I've always thought that, you know, you know, I've always been one of those people that plant seeds. You know, I want to plant. When I did freight sales, I always wanted to plant a seed. You know, and the seed, you know, even if the seed was just getting the shipper on the phone, even if the seed was just getting him on the phone and leaving my phone number, if it was just, you know, leaving a little you know, giveaway on his desk. I mean, you know, where he would have access to my phone number, no matter, you know. You know, you don't want to be one of those people who, or, you know, I'm getting into the freight sales part of it now.
Yep.
And I'll give you an example. I did an experiment some time back, and I went to every shipper that I could find in the Midwest and the Northeast, and I said, I need all your freight going to Florida that you have. Anything at all going to Florida, call me. Florida, 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 Florida. And so, of course, after the season dropped off, everybody called. You still go to Florida, you know?
Right, all the outbound Florida freight dropped off.
Sure, sure. So
were asking for inbound. Right.
Right. But
yep.
But the point was they identified me with Florida. And I think that people need to identify you with something.
Yep.
You know, when you walk into a shipper, if you're talking to the guy, you know, and you say, oh, yeah, we got all kinds of equipment. We go 48 states to 48 states. And, you know, this, when you become the generic guy who goes into the filing cabinet with the 500 other generic guys, you know, you're not really identified with something. So I always tell people that, you know, no matter what you do, you know, take one thing and try to resonate that message, you know, with a shipper. So, you know, in the course of his business, when he comes across that, you know, he remembers, you know, that you're his guy for that particular movement, you know.
I tell the story frequently, just like you, Ron. I'm a farm boy from Wisconsin. And when I got into the industry, what did I know? Well, I knew farm commodities, especially bag feed. And, you know, I started off by calling feed stores. Now, a lot of those, they just take pallets, but there are some good-sized ones out there, somewhat in obscure locations where, yeah, they have to, you know, they have to deal with brokers and freight agents. And, I mean, basically, you start somewhere, wherever it is, and I agree. Go in as a specialist. I specialize in whatever it is. If this company is moving air conditioners and you've moved a few air conditioning loads, well, then you specialize in air conditioners. I mean, let's face it, there are more than enough companies out there competing with each other, but more than enough companies out there that require specialized individuals to move their freight, to move their equipment, to move their commodities, whatever it is. So basically, you were signaled out as the Florida expert. Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, it was something that I put out there. I decided, let me do this. I would do anything. You know, I mean, I had the ability to go anywhere and do anything, but I said, let me try to identify with known, you know, people. I got a pretty good idea that ship to the southeast and the Florida, and let me run this up the flagpole to see how this goes. And I got a lot of accounts out of it. I got a lot of accounts out of Florida.
For outbound freight?
Well, you know, everything weird, you know, yes, outbound freight to New Jersey, outbound freight to Ohio, to Illinois. You know, not easy to get, you know, but you just, when you do a good job, some people will say, you know, I have a friend that ships to Galveston, Texas twice a week, you know, and, you know, I was hauling bales of shredded paper from St. Petersburg to Dallas. I was hauling containment buoys from the east coast of Florida to the west coast of Florida when there was an oil spill. You know, and they backed the truck right up on the beach and just pulled the buoys out, or, you know, the containment things. And I was hauling a lot of freight out of southern Georgia. I had a company up there called Hanson Egg. They frozen eggs all over the darn country. I never saw so many eggs in my life.
You said frozen eggs?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the name of the company, Ron?
Hanson. H-A-N-S-O-N.
Oh, Hanson. Okay. Hanson Eggs.
Yeah. I mean, they were big. I mean, I work in support of my customers now. I do not move any freight myself anymore.
Right. Right.
I if somebody calls me or somebody needs, you know, somebody says, hey, you know, you got any contacts out of here? And, you know, I'll either jog my memory or I'll look back through my stuff and whatever I can refer to them. I was handling spas coming out of Florida, going to all the Home Depot stores up the East Coast.
Wow.
I was handling, you know, crazy stuff, you know. I was handling olives from an olive importer in Kentucky coming down to Tampa. I was handling hot sauce coming out of Tampa going up to North Jersey. I was, you know, just I was handling cans of pumpkin out of central Illinois and Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, coming down to Texas. I mean, you know, it kind of viraled out. It just fed on itself, and that's what happens. You know, when you get in there and you do a good job, and you know, it works its way, you know, through the system of friends and other plants and that sort of thing. So,
Ron, let's talk about a beginner freight agent. Now, at one point, you had your start as a beginner back in your early 20s, correct?
Sure.
How did that go for you? Give us you know, a short synopsis of how that went. I believe you said you started off dispatching.
You started off dispatching. When I started doing my own thing, of course, you know, the market's so different now. I mean, back then it was, you know, buy yourself an industrial guide and get yourself a couple of highlighters and, you know, just start going down the pages.
Right.
And call up and say, hi, how you doing? You know, and you know.
Were people difficult to get a hold of back then?
No, well, I would say that I probably got put through to shippers on a 1-2 or a 1-3 basis. I mean, I'm very disarming when, you know, I talk to people on the phone. I mean, I don't.
You're quite mellow.
Yeah, I you know, I'll
mellow
make
and monotone.
Yeah, I'll make a joke or something. You know, I mean, people are so busy, and you know, people. You know, I not to a point of being silly, but, you know, I will, you know, try to be personal with the person who answers the phone, and it works for me a little bit better. Nowadays, I would say, you know, you could go through an industrial guide all day, and, you know, if you get, you know, five shippers on the phone, you're probably lucky. It's just layers that are, you know, people are overwhelmed. It's more competitive. And there are layers that are put in there. It used to be back in the 90s and the 2000s, you know, they would tell you, well, everything's rooted by the customer and, you know, I can't help you. But, you know, nowadays it's, you know, shoot me an email, you know, and I'll take a look at it. And that kind of goes in the circular file. So it's kind of hard to, you know, it's hard to actually connect with people. I have had some success with hiring retired, semi-retired freight salespeople who've worked for, you know, bigger common carriers and, you know, who kind of thought they wanted to retire, but after they had nothing to do for about 6 months, they wanted to, you know, at least do something.
Mr. Connections, things like that.
Yeah, and, you know, these are people that, you know, a lot of these old common carriers, these are people who they've had relationships with for years. You know, they take them to the ball game, they take them golfing, they,
right.
You know, and, you know, the relationship's there. And the relationship is where you want to get to, you know. And if you can't do it yourself or, you know, you're just somebody that's off the street, there's a lot of, you know, older folks, you know, who are collecting pensions and Social Security, you know, who are willing to, you know, work on straight commission, you know, if you treat them fairly and everything. You know, I've always found that, you know, this guy, you know, has, you know, some accounts he needs to nurture. He introduces you to the shipper over time. You know, you build your own relationship with him, and everybody's happy, and you know, it works out well. So, I mean, I don't know if, you know, you got to have a lot of patience and a lot of wherewithal to just sit down and pound the industrial guide for 6 months these days. I would say that, you know, it's always, you know, and the old folks read the paper all the time. So, you know, rather than just put an ad on Craigslist, you know, little help wanted commission ad in the local paper, which, you know, doesn't cost too much.
Interesting. Yeah. I was just going to say, where as a trainer, which is what I do, how do you find these individuals that have been around and they're, you know, want to get back in? But yeah, you're right. They read the paper, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the paper's still there, you know, mean, why not? You know, so, you know, as long as it's not, yeah, the major publications, you know, the community publications are, you know, 15, 20 bucks, 30 bucks an ad. I mean, the major city newspapers are probably a couple of hundred. It all depends what your budget is. So, you know, it's, I think that that's a good source. Of course, you know, drivers, geez, you know, I mean, how many people see, it's turning into rush hour around here, getting a little noisy. I'm sorry about that.
No, we don't hear a thing, Ron.
Okay.
Just so you know.
But you know, there's a lot of ways to, you know, get business without pounding the industrial guide. Drivers, you know, truck drivers, you know, they pick up someplace every morning. They go someplace every afternoon or every other day. You know, they're looking. They're saying things. There's 30 trucks backed up here, you know, there's 12 trucks backed up here. I mean, what a resource for, you know, a new agent or a freight broker to sit down and, you know.
Give us an example of how that would work, Ron.
Well, I mean, you know.
Getting information from a driver.
Well, it's much more back. Okay, let me back up here. Back in the old days. Okay.
Yep.
I hate to say that about myself, but the driver would come in and sign a lease. You know, he'd actually come into the office and bring all his paperwork, and you would photostat it, and he'd sit down and you'd give him a glass of iced tea, and, you know, how's his day going, and that sort of thing, and you get to talking to him. You know, everything's so electronic now, you probably don't get a chance to see drivers, but hey, the Mid-America Truck Show in Kentucky is coming up next month. You know,
yes.
It's only a few weeks away. There's, you know, probably 50,000 drivers that, you know, small trucking company owners that go there. You know, just shooting the breeze. You know, I think I was telling you in the pre-interview about the other day, or last couple of weeks ago, I went to get a haircut at this old-time barber shop, and And I'm sitting in the chair, and we start talking about what people do. And, you know, I told the guy that, you know, I, you know, do truckingplanet.com. He goes, I move 3 loads a week of glass out of Georgia coming to Florida. Can you help me with it?
Mm.
And, mm-hmm. of course, I, you know, just referred him to the website because, like I said, I don't move freight anymore. But all these things come up. I mean, life is a sales call. Everything that you do, if you go to church, if you go to the synagogue, if you go to the Little League game, I mean, you know, embracing, you know, people and listening to people. Drivers are an excellent source. I mean, they're out on the road all the time. They're seeing where people are delivering. Hey, do you, you know, let me buy you lunch.
Absolutely.
You know, do you know anybody? You know,
they're such a valuable resource. And most of them, I won't say most of them, but there's a certain percent that are yearning for that human connection. And you've got to play it out, but some of them are more than willing to offer, you know, where they just picked up at, where they just dropped off at. I myself have brought in many customers that way just by talking to a driver. You know, and again, there's questions that you ask them as you're dispatching them for your load. You know, some, not all will talk to you, but there's a good percent that do, because let's face it, Ron, it's not like you're out there with a bunch of other humans all day. You're alone most of the time.
It's really, you know, the automation is wonderful. You know, all the technology is wonderful, Ted, but, you know, it really, it always comes down to people. 90% of all the freight out there, and, you know, people can, you know, disagree with me. Everybody says it's rates. Well, when you call people for the first time, or you just, you know, they kind of throw that barrier up there to you that it is all rates.
Say that again, Ron. What is it the first time?
Well, the first time you communicate with a factory, the first time you communicate with a shipper, you know, it always seems to be about rates. But I really believe that, you know, 90% of all the business that's done out there, you know, is done with people who, you know, offer a fair rate and do a good job and make it easy for the customer to call you, you know, call into, you know, some endless voicemail system, you know, have a way where the guy can call you, you know. I mean, geez, that the greatest technology these days is, you know, a guy calling you on the phone and picking it up and saying, hello, can I help you, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
How often do you make a call and the other, the end of the line doesn't even answer?
Right, or, you know, you get put through, you know, you get thrown in the cloud, you know, everybody's in the cloud these days.
Yeah, nowadays, you know, it's just a matter of answer the phone. Answer the phone and you'll get business. It's that simple. Go ahead, Ron.
The competition has changed. The technology has changed. But the core of the whole thing, Ted, is that people are still people.
We are still human beings created,
you know,
a certain way.
And, you know, I always, you know, I, no matter where I go, you know, I always show people respect. I always, I always kind of connect anywhere I go. And I'm not, you know, I'm not making an effort to do that. It's just kind of the person that I've become.
Absolutely.
The world is a sales lead, you know. I mean, is one of the things that, you know, I mean, you know, everybody says there's hardly any opportunity out there, only, you know, and, you know, they get thrown the rate thing in their face all the time, and, you know, they get discouraged. How am I going to make any money on these rates? But there's a lot of end arounds to get business. And of course, you have to do what you have to do during the day. You know, you got to go, you know, everybody, no matter who they are, including me these days, you got to go dig ditches every morning. You got to do the work that you need to do, you know, before you get to the work that, you know, you want to do. And, you know, I think that, you know, everybody needs to move loads if they have freight. But in the other times, I think that, you know, if people develop their personal relationship, it leads into things, you know, and, You know, I mean, I could go, I can go anywhere and meet people who either have freight or know somebody that has freight or know somebody that has a warehouse or nobody knows somebody, you know. But the truck driver resource is much neglected. And, you know, we used to, you know, before they had the technology, before everybody just clicked on the, you know, load board button.
Absolutely.
We, you know, it'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon and the load wasn't covered. And if you didn't cover it by five, the shipper was not going to give you any more freight. And oh my God, everybody was panicking.
Right.
So, you know, somebody would, and most likely it'd be me, you know, I'd get into the car and drive down to the truck stop and start, you know, hanging loads up all over the truck stop, you
yep.
know, back when you,
yep.
back, back when you could.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, I'd get to talking to guys, and I'd be there till like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. I'd completely forget about the load.
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'd say, oh, you know, I'd talk to the shipper the next day, but, you
yeah.
know, and he was normally pretty reasonable. But, yeah, I mean, it was that sort of thing. And you know, we'd just hang out, and, you know, of course, you know, you'd hear stories, you know, about the last trip over Donner Pass and the, you know, the crazy places to deliver, like Hunts Point in New York and all kinds
mm-hmm.
of crazy things. And,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I just found it really all, I just find the whole industry so interesting all the time. You know, it's just, you know, it's just kind of a passion for me, you know.
Well, it's an industry of hundreds of thousands of different players, and that's a good thing too because the opportunity is endless.
Mm-hmm.
But let's face it, Ron. To start as a freight agent in this industry, the biggest challenge is just getting your agents to make phone calls and to continue to follow up. The average individual, the average freight agent will call a decision maker
mm-hmm.
2-3 times. They haven't given them anything, and they say, hey, I'm not going to get anything from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever recall coming across that, Ron?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it's, you know...
Par for the course hasn't changed much over the course of history.
It can be monotonous. You know, it's very monotonous, you know, especially, you know, like I said, that when you go in the morning and you dig the ditches, you know, that's the hard work, making the calls, you know, and doing that thing. I mean, it takes, you know, you have to really, really, you know, some people will kind of fall off the boat after, you know, a couple of weeks or a month or a couple of months, and those who can hang in there, I mean, it's a snowball effect.
Yeah, unfortunately, most will fall off the boat.
Yeah, well, you got to
fall off the boat, unfortunately.
Well, you got to eat and pay the bills. I mean, you know, so, I mean.
Absolutely.
Two things that I wanted to mention. And this
fire
was,
away.
You know, I had a, I think I had mentioned this to you. I had a brother-in-law who was a teaching pro at a driving range.
Got it.
And in the wintertime, of course, nobody's out golfing, so there's no work. And he says, you know, you got anything at all you can do for me, you know. And I says, oh, okay, come on in and work in sales. So so he comes in, and, you know, he starts to talk to shippers about, you know, golf and what's your score and what's my score, and I'm a teaching pro, and, you know, let's go out on the range, you know, let's go out and hit a few balls and that
mm-hmm.
sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the vice president of I shouldn't bring up names, but it was Emerson Quiacool.
Yep.
He took him out for, you know, he took him out golfing, and he shaved like 8 or 10 points off his golf score. Well, they became the best friends in the world. And all of a sudden, you know, he was bringing in other vice presidents from other divisions, and my brother-in-law was teaching them all how to lower their golf score, you know. And I thought to myself, yeah, this is getting a little expensive for me, you know, all these vice presidents and stuff.
Right.
So I said to him, I said, Joe, you can't, you know, just go out golfing for a living, you know.
Yeah, well, Ron, was he moving any freight during this time?
Yeah, he was getting some freight, but okay. You know, I kind of put the squeeze on him a little bit, you know, and I said, look, I said, Joe, you're going to have to, you know, tell the guy you can't get out today because, you're not here just to golf, right?
Right.
So the guy says, let me call you back in 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He calls him back and he goes, here's 50 loads.
Just to get him out to golf.
Yeah, get up here and you know, I got these people up here waiting for you. Here's 50 loads.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
I'm like, all right, yeah. go, you know.
And Ron, it all started from a phone call.
Right.
It all started, I mean, obviously your brother-in-law had to make a lot of phone calls before he got to that one. But
sure.
It's a profession where you are constantly a work in progress.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you have to, you know, it's a matter of not, you know, of course, you got to make the calls. You got to do the thing. But you got to nurture the relationships. You know,
mm-hmm.
You have to kind of follow where the relationships go.
Mm-hmm.
One day, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about is one day I was out on sales calls, and I
mm-hmm.
went to Tropicana down in Florida, and I went to, you know, some other places. And I was having a crappy day, and it's, you know, 98 degrees out, you know, trying to keep the sweat off me.
Very humid.
Yeah, in summertime, you know, just a killer, you know.
Yep.
So I'm going down the road, and I went to this store, and I bought this tape, you know, back, you know, these self-improvement tapes. I always thought, yeah, sure, give me something to listen to between sales calls. I bought this tape called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was really interesting, but there was this one habit that was seek first to understand, then to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I rewound what I had done that day, and I had went in there and blurted off, you know, we do this and we do that and we do this and we do that.
Never about us, is it?
Right. And, you know, I said, this next sales call I'm going to go on, you know, I'm going to go ahead and apply this and see how this goes. And I walked in and I looked around and I said, you know, this is a heck of a place you got here. You know, how long you've been doing this, you know? And you know, the guy took me for a tour through the whole plant. It was a Hispanic food company. I mean, his family worked there. I met everybody in his family. This is the first sales call, you know. I met everybody in his family. I was getting, you know, two or three truckloads a week. You know, it was just, you know, I listened to that and I thought that, you know, let me, you know, understand first you know, and that's kind of probably where the golf thing went or, you know, some of the other things and the relationship, you know, if you're going to make calls, if you're going to beat the phones and you can get somebody who will exchange with you, on the phone, then it is important to listen, and probably one of the things that people don't do the most of these days is listen. So, you know.
Unfortunately.
So, I mean,
yep, you're right, Ron. I train this repeatedly. It is never, ever, ever about us. Our prospects could care less about what our service is or how great it is or how great we are. The
mm-hmm.
connection is always about them first. That's why I'm always teaching when you go into a sales call, you know, at least, you know, have three bits of information about your prospect, not about you, but about your prospect that you can share with them to show them that you are taking an interest in them. Because the average sales call, it's the agent makes it all about them and their company. And, I mean, let's face it. Are you going to want to listen to somebody like that, Ron?
I'm sorry. You cut out there for a second.
Are you going to want to listen to somebody that calls you and tells you how great they are?
It happens to me every day, you know.
How do you handle calls like that?
I do the same thing that the shipper does to the agent. Send me an email.
Yeah. Exactly. So, But every so often or not often enough, you'll get this call where they tell you all about Trucking Planet and, you know, what you do, the service you provide. That's going to get your ears perked up, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, sure. You know, yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, people that come to my, people that call me and say, you know, I love your site, man. It's really cool. You know, I'm like, I'm all ears, you know. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are you up for a little Q&A?
Sure.
Before we wrap up here?
Sure.
First of all, it's been a true pleasure having you share your story today. We all have one, and we all want to listen to what yours is, because you've been around for close to 40 years now, as far as being in this industry.
Yes, I have. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, you'd be the one to ask questions to. For those of you, you have any questions for Ron Hummel from Trucking Planet, hit star 6. Hit star 6. Just go ahead and hit star 6 and announce yourself. Just tell us you're on the line and go ahead and ask Ron your question. Ask Ron your question. I cannot stress how important it is when we go into a call, whoever it is, wherever it is, whatever they do, boy, make it about them. Make it about them. And even as you're sharing what you do with them, make it about them. It is all about our prospect. It's all about our customer. Nobody cares what we do. And when we get that right, that's when our prospects and customers start listening to us. Who's got a call for Ron? Hit star 6. Call for Ron, hit star 6. Let's get somebody in there with a question for Ron.
Hear me?
I got you. Go ahead.
Ted, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, okay, this is Chris from Seattle. I have a quick
Chris.
Question. If I'm agenting for a particular...
Speak up a little more, Chris.
Yeah, you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, if I'm agenting, thank you. If I'm agenting for Mr. Keys at Logistic Dynamics, and there's another agent that has secured that customer, but they still have a load for me, what should my response be?
That's probably a question for LDI more than it would be for me. I don't know how they – that would be like the traffic cop. I wouldn't know how to handle that. But if they don't have – you know, I mean, it's – if they prefer to deal with you, I mean, that would be something that LDI probably want to, you know, chew over and talk about. The most important thing is to get the business. Yeah. I mean, that's probably an LDI question, Chris.
Actually, it is an LDI question, Chris, and I will answer it for you. If there's a customer that's already working with LDI, and they specifically say, the customer specifically says, hey, I want to work with Chris. Now, let's put it this way. If that customer says, I mean, I've been working with this other agent, he's, you know, so-so, but I've got 20 more loads that I can move through LDI because I like Chris so much, there's absolutely the opportunity for you to, you know, to work the customer together. Chris.
Very good. Thank you. Hey, thank you, Mr. Keys. I have subscribed to truckingplanet.com, and I'm very grateful for this podcast. Good information.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Chris, were you aware of Trucking Planet before the call today?
I was not. I've never heard of it.
Awesome. Awesome.
Okay.
Who's got the next question for Ron? Thanks for that question, by the way, Chris. Next question for Ron. Hit star 6. Hit star 6.
Hey, Ron.
Yes.
Can you hear me? This is Bernie from Washington.
Hey, Bernie.
So you were the guy from Florida, and that's kind of how you got your name, and that it created a lot of income and interest for you. But
yeah,
where did
that
go from there?
Well, I discussed this with Ted. Originally, when I did the paper, I did it up in Pennsylvania. When my son was born, he was born with a condition called atopical dermatitis. And after going to several doctors, The head of pediatric dermatology at Johns Hopkins said you need to move to a warm, moist climate. So, you know, we wound up being in the Tampa Bay area. And, of course, his condition went away within a month after he had it for 2 years. It was kind of seamless, though, you know. I mean, nothing really changed. I mean, back then, there was an 800 number. You know, you just call AT&T and say, you know, make it ring here. These days, I don't know what the value, with everybody having free long distance, I don't know what the value of an 800 number is. Did I answer your question, Bernie? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just kind of, I've seen you, you know, I kind of got your whole story, and I'm seeing you, you know, obviously you're doing pretty well where you're at right now. And then I just remember you were saying, which was great advice, by the way, is have something that will stick in people's head that, you know, like you're the guy from Florida, you know, and I'm just kind of wondering if that must have segued into where you're at now. At some point, it must have gone from that. And excuse me if I missed it, but I had to leave a couple times. Segued into something that has taken you to where you're at now, which is basically you just stand back and collect money. I'm guessing from your signups.
Well, you know, it's everybody.
Not that
easy. Yeah, no, everybody. You know. They come, you know, they want to have, you know, more contacts. My primary job now is to drive traffic to the website. I have a mailing list of about 20,000 people in the business. I have about 9,000 connections on LinkedIn. I have about 8,000 followers on Twitter. It's twitter.com/truckingplanet. My profile on LinkedIn is Ron Hummel. And, you know, so we can connect there too. But, you know, it's just a matter of building it up. I mean, I had, you know, in the middle there, you know, everything isn't, you know, a wonderful story from Oz or anything. I had my first wife became, became ill with ovarian cancer back in 2002. And, you know, although I had, did my, I was making the change from hard copy to online, I had 3 years where she had required full-time around-the-clock medical care. And, I took on some agency work and, you know, did some commission work there to, you know, help pay for some of the medical bills because, you know, they were just coming at me every day. So, that kind of, you know, fills that void in there, how I was, you know, doing freight and doing the paper thing. But then, after about 3 years, I was on my own again and did the truckingplanet.com thing, you know. I mean, that's, I just like to help people. I like to help people, you know, get a couple of accounts, you know, and I'm always available to talk, you know, or call somebody back if I'm on the phone. It's a tough business, you know, and there's a lot of good people out there. I mean, I knew this business was for me when I knew I could show up at the office and not have to have a suit on every day. You know, I just knew that this was for me.
Bernie, did that answer your question?
Sure. I've enjoyed this.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Who's got the next question for Ron, if you don't mind, Ron?
No, no problem.
Okay. Next question for Ron, hit *6. Again, this opportunity doesn't come around very often where you can get on a call and ask an expert about what it takes to move your customer's freight. Hey, Ron, what is your website address again?
It's truckingplanet, just like the planet Earth, .com.
And do you mind throwing out a contact number if somebody wants to get a hold of you?
727-231-4200.
Awesome. And they can ask for you directly?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Sure,
Did I hear somebody else coming in just now to ask a question for Ron?
I'm not catching his LinkedIn. I'm sorry, I got his LinkedIn. I'm not catching his, Twitter.
Twitter.
Not getting that.
Twitter.com/truckingplanet, all one word.
Okay, I got that one. Okay, thank you, sir.
Oh, no problem.
Any last thing you want to add, Ron?
No. All I can say is, you know, hang in there, everybody. Jeez, I mean, this is so up and down, and, you know, I mean, it's you know, it's hard, you know. I mean, I know, you know, what you got to go through out there to try to, you know, try to get some momentum going, and, you know, it's out there, you know, but, you know, it's just got to, you know, turn over more rocks, I guess, these days. But there's a lot of people to help you, you know. I mean, there's a lot of people like Ted and like me that, you know, just, what do you need, you know? I mean, you know, you don't have to, like, you know, I mean, I talk to people all the time, and, you know, sometimes I hang up the phone and, you know, I say, hey, you know, I didn't make any money, but I don't care. You know, I'm to a point now where I'm enjoying the heck out of what I'm doing. And,
yeah.
And
well, what it comes down to, Ron, is you will get out of anything compared to the amount of effort that you put into it. It's simple action reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, plain and simple. And not only that, but as you get better at this profession, it becomes easier to get prospects and to turn them into customers. But
Sure. Let's
face it, you must start somewhere. Whether you're, you know, hauling whiskey barrels, Bernie.
Yep.
Or for me, my specialty is used clothes. I pick up a lot of used clothes out of Goodwills all across the country. A lot of those end up in Miami, L.A., and Houston predominantly. But the goal is start somewhere. Start somewhere and always make it about them. It's never about us. It's never about how fancy our system is or how good-looking we are. How well we talk. When you go in there with the idea or the mindset to assist your prospect, you will get the attention that you're seeking. It's guaranteed. Now, will you get it right away? No. It's going to take you a few times. Like, as I keep repeating myself, 80% of your sales will come between your fifth and your 12th contact. 80%. Most people quit at 1, 2, and 3 calls. Most of your sales come between call 5 and 12. Oh, how important it is to remember that. And as you get better and better, you're going to find that you're moving loads after 2 and 3 calls again because you're getting better at the profession. Ron, it's been a pleasure having you today. Ron Hummel, our freight sales expert guest. Again, one more time, your contact number, Ron?
Is 727-231-4200.
And your website address?
Is truckingplanet, like the planet Earth, .com.
Awesome. Thanks again for joining us today, Ron.
Okay.
In concluding my call today on my Tuesday conference call, as I said earlier, do you have any questions about what we just went over today, what we discussed? Or more importantly, are you ready to join our producing freight sales team, then give me, Ted Keyes, a call. I'm at 626-309-9141. God bless you, Ron Hummel.
Thank you, Ted. It's been good talking to you. And
we'll talk to you further down the line.
Okay. Well, take care of everybody. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Take care, everybody. Again, next week, Tuesday conference call, same time, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Take care. God bless. I'll see you all again next week on my Tuesday conference call. Bye-bye.